Well, there are some things that countries have to go through, but I think the most important of them has to do with the American definition of human rights. Because some of the countries that have been decertified to participate in AGOA have something to do with the failure of those countries to maintain a human rights regime that the U.S. considers to be appropriate. So democracy and human rights are very important. Countries can lose their eligibility through that process.
Professor, almost about 30 or so countries are eligible for AGOA. I understand you had a Zoom meeting in Nairobi concerning AGOA. What happens as we move forward to 2025 for African nations?
I think that one of the things we discussed at the, during that meeting, if African countries are to benefit from the U.S. market, they need to approach the process through regional cooperation. For example, instead of Kenya trying to negotiate, or say Kenya or Uganda or Tanzania, trying to negotiate agreements with the U.S. for entrance into the U.S. market, they should instead approach that process from the point of view of the East African community. The same thing with, say, Nigeria or Ghana, from the point of view of a West African community, which is ECOWAS. They would have a stronger way to negotiate with the U.S. if they came into the process as a regional bloc. And the idea there being that as Africans form these regional blocs and regional trade blocs and strengthen them, these blocs can then help them become a continental market that will allow them to negotiate more effectively, not only with the U.S., but also with other countries around the world, say China, for example, or the European Union. You can learn from the European Union the reason the Europeans are moving progressively towards a single bloc that will allow them to negotiate with the U.S. and China and other countries is because they already understand the benefits of negotiating as a bloc as opposed to negotiating as a single unit. One of the things we discussed was that African countries should approach AGOA from a regional perspective as opposed to one from a single individual country. They would benefit more from that process than they would if they were trying to negotiate with the U.S. as a single entity.
Will the U.S. go along with that?
It's not whether the U.S. would go along with it or not. I mean, in my opinion, really has nothing to do with what the U.S. wants as opposed to what the Africans want. If the Africans are strong enough as a unit to negotiate, then the external entity that is trying to negotiate with them would have no choice. It is true that the U.S. could simply say no. But if you look at it very critically, you're going to understand, I mean, Africa is very important to the U.S. Just look at the competition that is going on now in Djibouti between the U.S., China, and several other countries over access to that particular country. There's an East African community in existence right now, and it functions. It's, I believe its headquarters are located in Tanzania, Arusha, and it has its own government, and it actually functions. And it has a constitution, and it's functioning. ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States, is also functioning. It has its headquarters in Abuja, Nigeria, and even has its own court, the Community Court of Justice of ECOWAS. And the court issues judgments that are binding on all member countries, and the court has issued some very, very interesting judgments that I've read regarding human rights and the treatment of individuals. So, yes, those communities exist, and SADC, the Southern African Development Community, also exists. And so these communities exist, and they're doing quite well. They are not as advanced as, say, the European Union, but they are there. They provide the foundation for Africans to get together and try to understand that there are benefits from functioning as blocs as opposed to functioning as individual countries.